We are ready. It's 11:15. Yes, so I do apologize to those who didn't read the email, but Dr. Benny did request that we move the shiur. He has a very busy schedule, so we're happy to find time for this shiurim, that it's a little bit easier for him if we start the shiur 15 minutes later. So we did send it out, and if you missed it, I apologize for that, but it is 11:15, 6:15 in Israel, and it's a pleasure to welcome back Dr. Benny. Aleinu l'shabeach, ladon hakol, b'vakasha.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So also in the future, I'm happy if the class can be 15 minutes.
Yeah. I said for this week and the next 2 weeks, the rest of the series class will be at 11:15. Ryan, correct. Thank you.
Very good. So thank you very much, Rabbi Jay. Thanks, everybody, for joining. I hope to present you a very fascinating topic in Tefillah, Aleinu L'Shabeach. First, I would like to... last week we spoke Tfilat Chana. It was actually a study of the Bible. Yes, this section in the Bible was included for Haftarah, but we actually studied for Shmuel. Today we start learning a classical, a wonderful material on Olam HaTfilot from the world of the Jewish prayer, and it's actually related to Rosh Hashanah, where Rabbi Elazar said in the Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah, "Le'olam yasdir adam tefilato ve'achar kach yitpalel." A person should always arrange his prayer and afterwards pray. The name of the book, which includes all the prayers, is called a Sidur. And I think it's not only the arrangement of the text. Of course, before we had print or internet, finding the right text was a challenge. But I think it is much more. We have to get organized for the Sidur and to learn it and to lasok biyun tfila. What the experience of Sidur can be, of praying, is I try to show some aspects here with these five pictures. But there is much more into it. We can learn in the Sidur a lot of wonderful literature. We can learn history, and these are the clip arts I would like to use. And we can think. There's a lot of Jewish philosophy in the Sidur, and the topic of Tfilat Aleinu is actually a fascinating one. I would like to give you a historical overview. Where do we know Tfilat Aleinu from? It's in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah. It came to the daily prayer, and that's the topic of the name of our learning today. How did it come from Rosh Hashanah to the daily prayer? I would like to look at the text, and the text, of course, is the place where we can have a good understanding of the messages. That's what we do during Tefillah. We face the text, we encounter the text, we want to understand in a deeper way what the text says and what it tells us. The context comes from Aleinu Tefillat himself. The historical review will explain how it came from a tragic situation in France in 1171, when a Jewish community was killed and they said Aleinu just before they were killed. And there is another episode, an historical one, which goes back 320 years almost to Johann Andreas Eisenmenger, one of the leading anti-Semites. And there is a lot to learn. At the end, I would like to conclude, what are the messages for us? And of course, I say my point, and I'm happy to hear what you think. So here's the text of a historical overview. Historical overview is the classical approach of science, of research. Not necessarily what we experience during davening, what our spiritual, religious world has to say during davening. We just learn, when did it start, how was it accepted in the text, and in which countries and which countries not. So there's a lot to learn about it. Talking about the first lecture here about Tfilah, I can't continue without mentioning Elbogen, Ismar Elbogen, Yitzhak Moshe Elbogen.
You know what I mean, right?
A brilliant scholar in Germany. If you could just turn off the microphones, that would help. He's a brilliant researcher from Germany who escaped Germany to the States. And he wrote the famous book, Jewish Liturgy, A Comprehensive History. Der jüdische Gottesdienst in geschichtlicher Entwicklung. A masterpiece. I use this book very often. It's very informative. And I think it is an important basis. I say it with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of scientific enthusiasm. But he explains the history, and there is an expression, the collective memory. If I say Tfilat Aleinu after learning the history, it is much more than the text. It has this text has a history. The history of the text talks to me. But if it's, and it brings a lot of personal meaning. At the same token that I want to say how important it is, I want to point out history is extremely important, but it will not give the full answer. We have to understand the messages. So here I present the history, the historical overview of that, of the Tfilah, which has sources. Not really. It is quoting the Bible. It is quoting many sources in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, a little bit in the Gemara. And there is a Gemara in Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, where it says, "Berosh Hashanah kol ba'ei olam uvrim lefanav kivnei maron, sheneimar ayotzer yachat libam hamivin el kol maasehem." On Rosh Hashanah, all creatures of the world pass before Hashem like sheep, as it states in a pasuk in Tehillim. Rosh Hashanah is a day where the entire world is addressed. So this text is not quoted in Tfilat Aleinu, literally, but it is actually the meaning. We talk about the world. The text is not mentioned in the Gemara, but the Gemara in Masechet Yerushalmi, Avodah Zarah, and also in the Midrash Vayikra Rabbah and other places mentioned, for Rosh Hashanah, we have a prayer book of Rav. Rav, the famous Talmudic scholar, he established a prayer, a set of prayers for around the Tkiot. Musaf was the time of Rosh Hashanah, special prayers, and that goes back to the Talmudic scholar Rav, who probably took it from earlier sources. We don't have the text in the Gemara, but it is Rav Amram Gaon. Babylon. He was after the codification of the Gemara. He lived there, and the Talmud was finalized. However, he was the leading scholar who gave instructions and guidance to the entire world. It was the community of Barcelona. Spain got very famous in the 12th century and later on. So that is the transition when the last Talmid Chacham, one of the last Talmidei Chachamim in Spain, summarized what we pray, and when he spoke about Tekiata de Beirav, what Rav established, put in place for Rosh Hashanah, he gives the full text. The Talmud does not give the full text, but he does. So here we have an interesting development. The Tfilah was known somehow from Rosh Hashanah, but the wording, we have only the full text in the 9th century. That is the text we will take a look at carefully very soon. And it was, as I said, in the 12th century that the tragic story, a tragic event in Blois, not far away from Orléans, I will present afterwards the map and the story. There was the first ritual murder of a Christian child in the continental Europe. It happened a little bit before in England, and that was the end of the Jewish community. When they were killed, they said Aleinu, not Rosh Hashanah. So we see that in the Talmud and in Rav Amram, Aleinu is a prayer for Rosh Hashanah only. How do we know it from everyday's prayer? We know it, how did it come to the everyday's prayer? By a very, very tragic event. The Jewish community of Blois was totally destroyed. And they said it. And I will address that later. And in the later event, and as I said, showed here, Johann Andreas Eisenmenger in Heidelberg, he attacked the Jewish community, the Jewish religion, and there were changes, as I will show you later. So Aleinu, if we would meet Kivyachol, we would meet Aleinu in person. This person, Aleinu, the prayer, has a lot to tell you, has a lot to tell us. There is a huge history, the sources of the tefillah, how it came from the Talmud to the Rishonim, from Babylon to Spain. And this prayer went through quite an interesting development. And I think if we say it, the historical background has a lot of messages. This prayer made really history. Let's take now a look at the tefillah. And the way I would like to do it, as usual, I would like to read the text. You have here a translation, which, as all translations, are not more than a translation. And afterwards, we will work on the Hebrew text. And the Hebrew text, there I want to point out the messages, the analysis of the text, and to think about the text. What is the text that comes out from the text, the messages? The historical background, whether it is before the sources or the historical background, what happened afterwards, is we have to identify it in the text. Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon. כגויי ארצות ולא סמנו כמשפחות האדמה שלא שם חלקנו כהם וגורלנו ככל המונה. There are many songs, tunes for Aleinu, where it says ואנחנו קוראים ומשתחווים ומשתחווים ומודים לפני מלך מלכי המלכים הקדוש ברוך הוא. The song stops, the tune stops here, but here in between there is a gap. In this gap has historically another line. Shehem mishtachavim lehevel varik, umitpalelim el el lo yoshia. This line is missing in many sidurim, and we will address that. That is the story about Eisenmenger 1703. Shunote shamayim v'yosed aretz, umoshav yekaro v'shamayim mimal, v'al haaretz mitachat, einot. ושכינת עוזי בגובי מרומים, הוא אלוהינו אין עוד, אמת מלכנו אפס זולתו. ככתוב בתורתו, וידעת היום והשבות אל לבביך, כי השם הוא אלוהים, בשמיים ממעל ועל הארץ מתחת אין עוד. על כן, נודה לך השם אלוקנו לראות מהרה בתפארת עוזיך, להעביר גילולים מן הארץ ועלים קרות יקר עיתון, לתקן עולם במלכות שדי וכל בני בשר, יקראו וישמך, להפנות אליך כל ראשי ארץ, יכירו וידעו כל יושבי תבל, כי לך תכרע כל ברך, תשבע כל לשון. לפניך, השם אלוקינו, יכרעו ויפולו ולכבוד שמך, יקר ייתנו, ויקבלו כולם את עול מלכותיך, ותמלוך עליהם מהרה לעולם ועד, כי המלכות שלך היא, ולעולמי עד תמלוך בכבוד, ככתוב בתורתך, השם ימלוך לעולם ועד. ונאמר, והיה השם למלך על כל הארץ, ביום ההוא יהיה השם אחד ושמו אחד. That is the text. So I guess that is what I remember as a child. We came late to the shul, and we just came to the end, Aleinu. That's not what I want to encourage, that one should come late to Aleinu, but I want to show you that even with this tefillat Aleinu at the very end of the sidur, there are a lot of take-home messages to be learned. Here we have the text, and what I did in my colors in the presentation here is something very simple. I don't explain anything. I just want to explain, to show which words appear in the first part and in the second part. And we see that one of the leitmotive, the leading expressions, is melech. You can count it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And if we take V'ne'emar from Zechariah, we have 11.
Benny, if we don't, Benny, yes. You want to just enlarge the text a little bit?
Yes, I want, but it takes away away all the fun of the... all the fun of the animation, but you're right.
Okay, he said a little bit.
Okay. Yeah,
for now, you don't have enough animation yet. So for now, you can enlarge the text if
you
want.
Wait for the animation.
Okay,
Rabbi.
Okay. It's coming. Gotcha. Go ahead.
So what do we see here? 10 times the word melech, plus in v'ne'ema. Is v'ne'ema part of it or not? The answer will be given very soon.
It is
part of the later part. It's part of the later text in Musaf. We have the words Shamayim and Aretz at the beginning. Here, Eretz, Shamayim, Eretz, Shamayim, Shamayim, Eretz. In the second part, we have only Eretz. It seems, before we analyze in the full analysis the text, that we talk about the kingdom of God, which is in heaven and on earth, and we on earth have to recognize Hashem in heaven. Aleinu l'shabach, we have to learn about you and to recognize you. We, the Jewish people, and Baruch Hashem, we have a special status, but it's not that we have a special status and the others don't have it. It is our obligation. Al kein kavelecha. Therefore, we have to hope for you, and we have to bring the line. Hope in Hebrew has the word tikva. It's kav. We have to build the line. Al kein kavelecha Hashem Elokeinu. We want to see your kingdom down on earth, and we have to be involved. La'avir gidulim min ha'aretz, to clean the world from idolatry, and to cause a tikkun ha'olam. In the kingdom of Hashem, not of kingdom of Hashem in heaven, of kingdom of Hashem on earth. And we have to address, lahafnot alecha kol rishei aretz, even the bad people should recognize God, should worship Hashem, and we should make sure that they all accept Kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. Vetimloch alehem, and you should be the king over them. So that is a totally different message in the second part, in the first part. In the first part, and that's what I summarized here, we talk what's happening now. Now we have to accept and understand and recognize Hashem. The second part talks about the future, what has to be done for future year, in the, what is our hope. In the first part, it is Am Yisrael, and we do it. And the other nations are not part of this process. They are actually outside. But we do, and we should lead it. In the second part, we have to make sure and make a lot of efforts that there will be a tikkun ha'olam, and all the nations will be part of it. In the first section, we talk to Hashem in the third person. He, what he did. And it's written in his Torah. You see the text here, kakatuv betorato. And at the end is a pasuk. In the second part, we say, kakatuv betoratecha. And there is a pasuk, Hashem yimloch leolam vaet. Why is there a change of the way we approach Hashem? And we showed at the beginning, anachnu koreim, we bent down, we bow down to Hashem. In the future, not only we, lechaticha kol berech, and you will be the king for all other nations who will accept you. We see quite a lot of terms which come back in the first part and then the second. And always in the typical difference, v'yadata hayom, we should know. But at the end it says, v'yedvu kol yoshvei tevel, the entire universe, the citizens of the entire world should know. At the beginning we should know, at the end all should know. So here we have a wonderful message. If at the beginning it says, Aleinu l'shabach, it is our obligation to praise Hashem, at the end it says, it is your future, Hashem, she'ata timloch alehem. The word alehem is experience, a transition. It is upon us to accept you, to understand you, but at the end it is upon you, Hashem, to be the king over all of them. So what is the message? And that's what I tried to summarize here in this clip art. We accept Hashem, Am Yisrael. He is the king of the world. We on earth, he on heaven, three times Shamayim, three times Aretz. At the end, it is a focus on the earth, on all the nations. And we should make sure that even the Rishei Aretz, the wicked people on earth, will recognize Hashem and worship Him. The first is a vertical direction, and the second part has two parts. And I want to go back, if this point was explained clearly, I want to go back to this section. From the first part arises the second part. Whatever we do for us, line 1 to 9, has to be applied. What we got from Hashem, go out and teach others. Make sure the world is a better one, and make sure that everybody should be on the same page. These are the differences, and that is the main message of Tfilat Aleinu. I think a wonderful message. We say this prayer, and we think about our obligations. And in the same token, with the same expressions, with the same leitmotif, the same words from the first part, we come to the second part, and we hope that in the future, what we experience, everybody on this universe will be part of that. Jewish, non-Jewish, you know what? Even much more. Rish'ei Aretz. We pray that Kol Yoshvei Tevel, all citizens of the universe, including the worst one, Rish'ei Aretz, they will all worship you. That is a vision that we are an example. We are the light for the nations today to create a better future in the vision in the coming days. That is the meaning of Tfilat Aleinu, I think a masterpiece of Jewish philosophy. We are not going to fight others. We are not going to cause others conversion, inquisition, crusaders, nothing like that. No jihad. But if we do it, we hope that the future will be a better one. We are not going to fight the jihad, nor any mission to force others to accept it. They will do it. Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Va'ed, in the second part, says in the song of Kriyat Yam Suf, when Am Yisrael was saved in Egypt, all nations recognized Hashem. That is our dream. For today, Sefer Dvarim is the main message. That is the beautiful message of Tfilat Aleinu, which is really a powerful message. You can see it has 9 lines in both parts. I do not count Hashem v'ne'emar v'yashem le'melech al kol ha'aretz, and I will explain soon why. 9 lines. Very similar volume of the text, and the same words. What we do is an example for others to follow in the future, Bezrat Hashem, and it's our job. That is the message, and a lot of sources are taken from the Tanakh. A lot of sources are, some of them, from the Gemara, but it is a text which has clear sources in the Bible, in the biblical language, and in the biblical philosophy, as I will show very soon. Once we saw this part, which to me is the first part to understand what the text says, we should indeed take a look at the sources here. I know it is a little bit small, but I want to point out these sources. In line number 12, we say, Kol b'nei basar yikra'u bishmecha. The fact that everybody should call the name of Hashem is a quotation, as you see here in the lower left part, from Zephaniah, one of the 12 prophets. In the later beginning of the second, Zephaniah, end of first temple period, and he says, Ki az ehefoch el amim safa brura, Likro kulam b'shem Hashem ul ovdo. All nations, a clear language, and they all together should call the name of Hashem and worship Him together. That's a vision. If Tfilat Aleinu in line 12 says, V'chol b'nei basar yikau v'shmecha, that is a quotation from Zephaniah. This pasuk in Sfania, I brought it here as a quotation in a biblical, in a discussion in the Talmud. In Gemara Masechet Brachot, it says, if a person sees a place of idolatry in Eretz Israel, he should pray that Hashem should help us to get away from Avodah Zarah, from idolatry, and these worshippers of idolatry should come back to Eretz to Hashem. What is the status to say that in Chutz La'aretz? Is it only for Eretz Israel? And the Gemara says as well, only Eretz Israel or and not Chutz La'aretz? And one opinion says it is both for Eretz Israel and for all nations abroad. That is a beautiful Talmudic discussion where the Rambam has a lot of very interesting elaborations on that. And it is worthwhile to talk about it. It will need an entire hour. So that is a vision. Do we worship only Hashem for ourselves or for others? If we see idolatry, we should say a prayer. Hopefully, we will get away from them. They will get away from the Avodah Zarah, and they should come back to you, Hashem, according to Tzefania, Likro Kulam B'Shem Hashem U'Le'ovdo Shechem Echad. This pasuk is integrated in the Gemara, and is integrated in Aleinu. And this Gemara is integrated in Aleinu. Because if we see in line 11 and 12 that there is a lot of idolatry, we actually hope they should come back to Hashem, Tikun Olam b'Malchut Shaddai, and all of them, V'chol b'nei basar yikru b'shmecha, is a quotation of Tzefania, the three words, Kol likro b'shem, and the concept is the concept discussed in the Gemara. So it is obviously, this text is very, very rich by the quotations from other sources. Furthermore, the problematic line in 4, Shehem ishtachavim lehevel variku mitpalalim el Elo Yoshia, the other nations, they serve vanity and empty gods who are useless, is a quotation, as you can see, line 4 has the same colors in gray, that in the Bible, it says in Yeshayahu 30 and in Yeshayahu 45, is exactly a quotation of other nations who worship idolatry, Hevel Varik, and they worship to gods which are useless. So Tfilat Aleinu, even the deleted section or the censored section, as we will see soon, knows very well to quote the Bible. And there are many more sources. The last line of Tfilat Aleinu, the way we have it today with the Pasuk, in line 19 or after line 18, these days, God will be the only king over the entire universe, and he will be alone, monotheism, and his name will be one. That takes us to a fascinating Rashi. Rashi was much later. It takes us to the Midrash, where Rashi took it from, and Rashi says it on Shema Yisrael, not less than the most important prayer, Shema Yisrael, the first line. Shema Yisrael, it says, Rashi says, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is our God. God is one. Rashi says, today he is our God, but not from all the other nations. Hu atid liyot Hashem Echad, shenemar az efoch el amim safa brura liko kulam b'shem Hashem, le'ovdo shchem Echad. But in the future, he will be the God of all other nations. Rashi quotes the Midrash, who quotes Tzefania, exactly the pasuk from the Gemara. And Rashi quotes, oh, you should know, in the future, he will not be Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, only our God, he is one. The entire human society, all nations will recognize Hashem, Vayomu Yeh Hashem Echad. Everybody will acknowledge that. So this vision, that Hashem Echad, which goes back to Shema Yisrael, is the bottom line of Tfilat Aleinu, the version we say today with the additional line. Aleinu has very specific and very solid sources in the Bible and in the Gemara. Now we come to the first historical question to better understand the Tfilah. Where is it mentioned? If the Gemara mentioned Tekiyata de Beirav and Rav Amram mentioned that, it's only in Rosh Hashanah. And that will be one of the topics, this half slide, which you see here. Impossible to read. Tfilat shel Rosh Hashanah Musaf is a beautiful, amazing text, which we'll need 10 hours to discuss. And we will do it in our one of our coming lectures very quickly, and give an overview with some basic concepts. Actually, this lecture is a preparation of Malchuyot Zichronot Shofarot Musaf. Here you can see that is Tfilat Aleinu. We have three parts, Malchuyot in blue, Zichronot in green, and Shofarot in the last color. Don't be nervous that you can't read it, that we don't read the entire text. That's not the purpose of our class today. It is the introductory piece of all the 10 psukim which are quoted here in later on in Malchuyot, in Shofarot, in Zichronot and Shofarot. How interesting. The Mishnah says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, El pohatim me'asara Malchuyot, me'asara Zichronot, me'asara Shofarot. If you quote, you should quote on these days in the prayer, not fewer than 10 texts, verses in the blessing of Malchut, kingship, of Zichronot and Shofarot. 10 times. Here you see the text, 10 quotations from Malchuyot, 10 from Zichronot and Shofarot. 10 times the word of Malchut is mentioned in Aleinu, which is the introductory text for Malchuyot. Is that an accident? Is that not by purpose? I have no doubt in my mind it is. It's exactly the idea and the quote and the messages which are mentioned in Malchuyot. What do we say Malchuyot Rosh Hashanah? Ten pachdecha, and now we talk about the prayer of Rosh Hashanah. God, you should be recognized. Kol baye olam, all nations. Everybody should recognize you. We are the children of Noach. You remembered Noach on Rosh Hashanah. So tfilot musaf, malchuyot, is a malchut for all nations. It is the birthday of the world, and we are part of the entire world. It is the wonderful commentary, Otzar HaTfilot, which is one of my favorite commentaries. And he says very, very clearly, those who understand the Hebrew, worthwhile to read it and to learn this Perush. It is a masterpiece of Parshanut on the Sidur. And he says, these are exactly the idea. Ve'yida kol paul ki ata fa'alto. Ve'yomar kol asher neshama ba'apo Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech. That's what we say in Rosh Hashanah. The entire world will worship you. That's the message of Rosh Hashanah. How interesting that Tfilat Aleinu fits exactly this text. And the text of Rosh Hashanah, the text of Rosh Hashanah is part Aleinu. Here we have, and I want to quote that only as I explained that only in brackets, Aleinu is also mentioned on Yom Kippur. So it seems that this idea from Rosh Hashanah, Tekiata de Beirav, from Rosh Hashanah made an impact not only for Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Our Tshuva process is that we should recognize Hashem, Aleinu L'Shabeach, and we should make sure to bring it to others. But there is a very interesting phenomenon, not in all Sidurim, but in the vast majority of the Sidurim I saw, Machzorim, Rosh Hashanah, we say both parts of Aleinu. Yom Kippur, we do say only one part of Aleinu. And that's a very interesting question. Some of them say it all also on Yom Kippur, both parts. And I think the reason is very simple. For those who quote both parts on Rosh Hashanah, all of them, and only one part on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we stand in front of Hashem with our sins. We have to make sure what our role is, what our status, ethical status is, whether we fulfill our job to be in front of Hashem. We have to get rid of our sins and to make our decisions to be better people. And we pray for forgiveness. There is no point on Yom Kippur to talk about the second part. Don't run outside and do international politics for the entire world. Yom Kippur, take care of yourself first. how you stand in front of Hashem. Therefore, Yom Kippur, the second part, is not there. That only in brackets. And there will be, as I mentioned, a special shiur on Malchuyot Zichonot Shofarot. For sure, we cannot address the entire tefillah, which is huge and a very, very big field of a lot of interpretations. Now I want to talk about the history. If that is, as we saw on this slide, the classical message and the values of Rosh Hashanah, wonderful. It fits for a class before Rosh Hashanah and for Rosh Hashanah. How come did it come to the daily prayer? And that's an interesting question. The history will give us an answer. There is a, as I mentioned, the Jews in Blois were killed in 1171. And there was a famous writer, which we'll talk about him soon, who described this massacre in Blois. Here is Paris, Versailles. Here is Orléans. There was a big Jewish community in Orléans, Rabbi Yaakov me Orléans, Balei HaTosafot me Orléans. And there is a little village today, I think 30,000 citizens, which is called Blois. Blois, the only thing you know in Blois, here you have an enlarged map. Let's go for a trip with Torah in motion. We go into Blois. The only thing we can find there is a Rue des Juifs, the Street of the Jews. You can see it's pretty much in the old center of the place, but there is no Jewish community since the 12th century. And here we know from a famous writer, which is called Rabbi Ephraim ben Yaakov Mibon. Bonn in northern Germany. He lived later in this, he lived during that time, and he reported that when the Jews, and he was like Elie Wiesel, who described the Holocaust, Rabbi Ephraim ben Yaakov Mibon described the terrible massacres and the Shmat, the suffering of the Jewish communities during the Crusades. Rabbi Ephraim ben Yaakov Mibon is the scholar, is the Talmid Chacham, who reported on Rabbi Amnon Mimagenza, which we will learn in one of the following lectures on Unetane Tokev. Whether it is a true story or not, we'll talk later, that he wrote it. But the story about Rabbi Amnon Mimagenza is reported by the Or Zahua, by the same author, Rabbi Ephraim ben Yaakov Mibon. And there is a whole book, a short booklet, how he describes the destruction of Jewish communities in the Crusader, the time of the Crusades. And interesting, in handwritten report, handwritten in manuscripts of the Sidur, from this period, we see here Tfilat Aleinu. I will make it bigger. This text, you can see, Aleinu Leshaveach, you have here the entire text. And you can see in the text, Hu Eloheinu En Od. Who is written in big letters. Isn't that interesting? That the words, Hu Eloheinu En Od, is exactly what we say in Aleinu, which takes us to Eliyahu Bakarmel. At the end, they say, Hashem Hu Elohim. That's what we say, what Eliyahu said twice on Har Carmel. It's written one more time in the Bible in a very similar context. Hashem Hu HaElokim. We recognize Hashem. Even if there is idolatry, Eliyahu Bakarmel, that is the main message. So it was at the time when they were brought to be killed that Rabbi Ephraim ben Yaakov Mibon says when they were going their last way to be murdered, they said, Aleinu. What a wonderful privilege for Tfilat Aleinu to be in the mouth of the people who are just about to be killed, Al Kiddush Hashem. And I want to elaborate this point in a little bit more detail in this slide. We have a lot of prayers in the Sidur, which are a fascinating documentation of history. But if a history book shows you maps and divides everything in years and generations and different areas and countries and the relation, the Sidur explains what happened, what is the religious response to it. And we have a tefillah, Av HaRachamim, Shochen Meromim, where we talk about, we pray for all the kehilot who were killed during these shmat during the medieval age. In the medieval age, we have in Tfilat Avinu Malkeinu. The source is Rosh Hashanah. Aseh leman harugim al shem kodshecha, God, please help us in the name of those who were killed for your holy name. Aseh leman ba'ei ba'esh uvamayim al kiddush shemecha. Avinu Malkeinu nekom nikmat dam avadecha shafuch. We want to continue. And when we take out the Sefer Torah, we say, Av harachamim uyirachem am amusim v'yizkor brit eitanim v'yatzil nafshoteinu min hasha'ot haraot. He should save us from the bad hours. Bad hours is not a Hebrew term. Bad hours does not appear in the Midrash and in the Gemara. Bad hours is a Francocism. If somebody understands French, he will understand malheur, a bad hour. These Jews in the medieval age in Blois and in Germany and all those who suffered from the Crusades, they experienced very bad hours. En français, des malheurs. That is what we say in Av HaRachamim min hasha'ot hara'ot. That's a comment from Avodat Israel. So this, the Sidur is a personal report and response to history. It's not a history book. It is, as we call it, history from within. It is the response to history. And here we have a very interesting report. Why was Aleinu taken at the end of the Sidur? The historical answer is very clear. They did it in honor of the community in Blois, which was the first of a terrible time in Europe when the Crusades started, and it was a tough time. If they said it when they were killed, we keep saying it every day. But the Baalei Halacha in the rabbinical halachical literature, it is presented in a different way. The Bach, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, said, we say it at the end. Why? Litko belibeinu kodem sheniftarim lebateinu yichud malchut shamayim. Before we leave the synagogue, let's focus on the take-home message. The take-home message is God is Hashem, and we should stick to Him. That is a very, very meaningful message for the religious experience at the end of tefillah. The historical background is we do it in honor of those who were killed, and God forbid it should not happen, and we should always remember them. But the religious response is we should be strong. The explanation of the halacha is not that. And here we have again the beautiful commentary, Iyun Tefillah, written in the early 20th century, where he says it is a wonderful text, which I would like to read. וכמה מן הסובלנות בלי דוגמה יש לראות בסגנון תפילות כאלה? How much tolerance? Tolerance means suffering. A tolerance level is they really suffered. Without other examples, we have in this text that the Jew who is killed and they will take away, and the bad people, the wicked people, will take away his life. When he goes bekerev tzara, when he goes his last way, he takes the prayer from Rosh Hashanah and says, for me, it's a holy day. The day they were killed is a holy day for them. Why? They will be killed al kiddush Hashem, for the name of God's holy name. So this day has holiness. He is killed. And what is he doing? He prays not for himself. He prays for those who take away his life. And he prays, Lehafnot elecha kol rishei aretz. Today they kill me, too bad. But in the future, we hope, the entire world will recognize Hashem. That is the masterpiece of philosophical transformation, as he puts it. We are killed, we pray for the world, despite that we are stepping out. But the world should go in the right way. A masterpiece of Blois, and the masterpiece of religious thoughts, which we take it from Rosh Hashanah, we take it to our prayer book. Interesting, the Rambam does not quote Tfilat Aleinu at the end of every daily Tfilah, only Rosh Hashanah. And many other Rishonim, primarily those from Sfarad. So we have an interesting phenomenon that we got the present of Tfilat Aleinu in our daily prayer book because of people who were killed, and that brought this Tfilah to our daily prayer, to our awareness every day, stay strong. Despite that we were killed, we will continue and be strong. That is a fascinating phenomenon. Almost 20 years ago, when, as you will see in a moment, it was 300 years for the next historical event, I presented this history in Haaretz, and you find it online. And it was very, I thought this story is so interesting, so I presented it. And they took it in Haaretz, a non-religious excellent newspaper in Israel, and they took it for the weekend. And friends in the hospital who work with me, he said, you know, I had a good time this Shabbat we were on the beach, and I read on Shabbat your paper. It was very interesting. Despite that it was religious, I liked it very much. And afterwards, the guy called me from the newspaper, a religious Haredi newspaper, Mishpuche, and he asked my permission to publish it in Mishpacha because it was very interesting. And he told me he liked it very much, despite that it was religious. He said, a religious guy, despite that it was very historical, it was very interesting. So I think that Aleinu is a very special tefillah to bring many people together. We come now to the second part of the history of this text. And we saw that the text, Shehem Ishtachavim Lehevel Varik, Umitpalalim Le'el Elo Yoshia, in the first part, other nations, they pray to gods which will not help, their vanity and empty. This line caused a lot of problem in another historical time, 1703. You find actually a lot of material in Wikipedia. I was very impressed. They have a very good entry there on Aleinu and on this line. And I would like to show you, to tell you the story. And that is for this on this slide here. It's in German. And I learned about this story when I, for Bar Mitzvah, I got the book, The Olam HaTfilot, from the Rabbi Dr. Eli Munk. And I loved to read it after the Bar Mitzvah. I read every page and wanted to understand better a few of the Sidurim. I strongly recommend every child and everybody to read Olam HaTfilot or other good book. There is a lot of interesting material. And I read there a section about Aleinu, and he tells that the line was deleted because of Johann Andreas Eisenmenger. There was no online and no Google these days. I went to the library of the Jewish community. Nothing was there. Very little. So I went to the University of Basel, where I grew up, and I asked them, how can I get this book from Johann and Andreas Eisenmenger? It is worthwhile to read about him. Yaakov Katz, in his book, The Wonderful Historian in Yerushalayim, he wrote a lot about anti-Semitism from 1700. And he says Eisenmenger was the first anti-Semite. He had a philosophy of anti-Semitism. He was a big scholar of anti-Semitism. And the story says, I'm not sure what is historical and what not, he grew up in a monastery, in the church, in a very religious background, Christian. And when he met at the age of 20, a friend of his who converted to Judaism, he got so upset that he decided to attack Judaism, to attack the Jewish religion. And he went for 20 years to different Batei Midrash in Germany, in England, and he studied for 20 years. So that is quite a nice message, I think, to learn from this anti-Semite. If you hate Judaism and you study 20 years in Batei Midrash to write afterwards a book of 700 pages, if we have Ahavat HaTorah, if we love the Torah, we should do it even more intense than what he did. He wrote this book, and published it in 1700. And in this book, he says that the Jews hate other nations. How do we know that? That they hate other nations and Christianity? Because it says, Shehem mishtachavim lehevel varik. You see the text here. Varik has four letters. Vav, Resh, Yud, Kuf. And the word says, and the emptiness. Other nations are empty. They are useless. What is the meaning of varik? The meaning is gematria in the numerical value is the same like Yeshu. So he wanted to claim that every day the Jews pray against Christianity and specifically against Yeshu. Since they will not say it that obviously, publicly, instead of saying Yeshu, they use the word varik. And he wrote that on four pages in his Entdecktes Judentum. And is extremely aggressive, what they have to say, and that is reflects the Jewish religion. They hate other religions, and they hate Christianity and Jesus in particular, and they killed him. So it is a full 700 pages full of anti-Semitism. It was afterwards Wilhelm von Preußen, the king in Germany, who in 1703, he insisted that they should stop saying it. And you see here the full German text. I have all the documents. I collected them very, very carefully. That was the reason that there was a rich Jewish banker from Vienna, Wertheim, Salomon Wertheim, who bought all the 500 copies of this book. These days, print was a big issue. He bought them for a lot of money, and they agreed that this book will not be published further. Eisenmenger got a heart attack when he heard about that and died. And in Germany, the deal was that the Jewish community is not allowed to say this line in Aleinu anymore. There will be supervisors who come to the synagogue, and they will make sure the line will not be said anymore. That's the reason, I guess, that the song of Aleinu, the tune, just covers one more line to make sure you do not say anything in between. If you sing it, you cannot hide a line. If you say it quietly, God knows what you say. But if you say it loud, that is not possible. So that is the story of Aleinu and of Eisenmenger. When I was, as I told you, when I was in my young years and I started my first step to the academic world, I had actually a terrible experience. I came to the library in Basel. They told me I should come back in 45 minutes and I can pick up the book. That's the way you order a book. It comes from the library downstairs. When I came after 45 minutes, there were some five librarians and they said, "What are you doing?" And they looked at me as a little crazy boy, 15 years or so, and they said, what you do is forbidden. Where are your parents?" They called my parents at home and said, "These books are in the toxic section of the library. One is not allowed to take it, to order it. If you don't sign, it's not used for anti-Semitic purposes." The book of Entdecktes Judentum from Eisenmenger was hidden for a few years, not for a long time. Afterwards, it was published again by one of his students, and it was an anti-Semitic basis, Yaakov Katz presents that, for many, many years, till at the end of, till in the beginning of Second World War, Streicher, Julius Streicher, who was in charge for propaganda, they published it again. So this misinterpretation by Eisenmenger, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, was used afterwards. An interesting piece is that Eisenmenger had to explain how is it possible he was faced with the Jewish community. And they said it's not possible that these words relate to Jesus. He said, "Of course it does. It's the Gematria." And they said, "No, it's a quotation from Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu lived much before, and you also believe in the Old Testament. So how can it be that the Old Testament talks about Jesus? It's impossible." So he said that is already a hint from the Old Testament against Jesus. So the Jews answered him, how can you say that? Listen to what you say. If the Old Testament says in Yeshayahu, in Yeshayah, that Jesus should be Hevel Varik, which is not true. So believe it, it's not true. So he answered to the king, he said, you see, that's the way you argue with Jews. They have always, they think they're always, that they are right, and they hide all the anti-Semitism, and it's a typical example for the hidden attentions. That is a very, very powerful story, which I presented to you very briefly. On the website, you will find these entire handout where everything I told you we discussed now is summarized. And that's the way I think it can be summarized in a, I hope, in a focused way. What we saw today is the historical overview of Aleinu, the different times. The focus was on the text analysis of Aleinu, the two parts, with the messages, which are so wonderfully part of the Tfilat Rosh Hashanah, and the story, the history in Blua and the 17th, 19th, and 18th century, which is so powerful about the anti-Semitism. And what is the message for us? I leave that with the audience. For everybody, the Tfilah has its own message, and there are many messages, and many, many messages can be added at the different times of our life and of our religious experience. One of the messages I would like to point out is that the holiness of our daily of Yamim Noraim, the day Yamim Noraim Rosh Hashanah, there is a transition that the Mekadshei Hashem, those who were killed and sanctified God's name during the medieval during the Middle Age, they were Mekadshei Hashem, and they suffered terribly, their communities. If they brought it from Rosh Hashanah liturgy to their daily last experience in their life when they died for Kiddush Hashem, it was introduced for our daily life, that our daily life should have more holiness, and we should remember those, and we should change our life, and we should continue with the legacy they lived for and they were killed for in our daily life. So that was the message. We will continue Bezrat Hashem with Tfilat Musaf. That was part one. And Unetan Etokev later on. I put here some of the books, and there is endless literature to Sidur. I put here only a little bit, which is some of the basics, and I will mention for different topics other books as well. Thank you for your attention, and I'm happy to hear comments and suggestions.
Okay, thank you. Here, I have here my Elbogen book right here. See, I don't even have to get up from my chair, but it's excellent right there. Thank you very much. Okay. The Jacobson I also have, but that's on the other side of the room. All right. But interesting, they're both, you know, German scholars. It's very fascinating, I think. I don't know, Benny, if you want to comment on that, but okay, just let me look.
Sorry, what is the question?
No, it wasn't a question. I was just saying that both of them, Elbogen and Jacobson, they're German. They wrote more scholarly approaches to the Machzor because that's the German approach. In Poland and Lithuania, they didn't write sort of academic analysis of the Siddur. It's more Parshanut, what we would call more classic Parshanut. But
it's actually interesting that the German, there are wonderful Hasidic commentaries to the Siddur. I enjoy learning Siddur for since Bar Mitzvah. And I have a big collection of Siddurim, and there is much more. There is classical commentaries, Rishonim. There are modern scholars in Germany. They were very strong in the history. We have today the possibility in manuscripts. There is a lot to learn about history. And Jakobson, he was scholar, but he was an educator in Tel Aviv who came from Germany, but he gave a new focus on that. So that is an interesting, transition. What should be the teaching? And actually, I dream about it to bring the website and this wonderful world of Siddur to the Batei Knesset. What is the approach? Do we teach history? Yes, it's not the main point. We want to have a religious experience with Chazanut, with good explanations, and the rabbi should give a good insight to each section in the Siddur over the year, Kabbalat Shabbat, you name it. There is so much to do. What is the approach? I think that is a better question than any answer that can be given. But there are many, many colors for these, for teaching and studying tefillah.
Yeah, I mean, I think for most people, it's the emotional pull. I don't know about the intellectual for tefillah works, but I don't have to tell you, tefillah, it's hard to inspire people in tefillah. Although I agree, the more you know about it, the easier it is to be inspired, the more you understand. But anyways, okay, I'm just trying to look through some of the questions, comments. So you sort of alluded to it, although I don't know that you fully developed kakatu betorato. You know, as opposed, you know, there's distinguishing between the first and the second half, b'toratecha. But why would it say b'torato at all? I think that's what his question. We're talking about God, not to God. We're not saying directly we share the Torah. Aleinu l'shemeach, we're talking b'torato. Okay, but I guess that is the point. We are talking.
Yes, so I want to address that. Thanks for raising that. I failed to explain this point clearly. So let me show here the enlarged section again. In the first part, we talk about Hashem in heaven. Yes, that is our job as Jews, that we should recognize Hashem. He is up there. Umoshav yekaro b'shamay mimal, u'shchinat uzo b'govei maromim. His home is up high in heaven. We have to bring him down to earth. So we are not talking to him yet. He is in a transcendent level that we even don't see him. We know he exists. Where is the work we do? The yadata hayom ve'ashavota el avavecha. We do it in our heart. We should know it. That he is in heaven, and he is also on earth. But he is Hashem up there. We talk about him. We know he exists. He is up there, but we are not yet vis-a-vis him. We are not in a rendezvous with him. If we are capable, sorry, I didn't share my screen. If he is up high, he is in heaven. He in heaven, and we want to recognize him down on earth. We want to know what is Shamayim and Aretz. We build up this relationship, but we do not talk to him in the second language. If we bring him down to earth and we are capable to get rid of all idolatry and all rishei aretz, at that time, his life will be all over. His presence will be respected as for Kriyat Hayam, Hashem Yimloch Leolam Va'ed, when all nations will recognize him. At that time, he is down here. He is down on earth. Everybody will recognize him. We talk to Hashem in the second language. We talk to him. Lecha, kakatuv b'toratecha here, kakatuv b'torato. So I hope this point is so meaningful and so unique and clear. We recognize Hashem in heaven, him in the first part. And afterwards, we go to the horizontal level that we will spread the word, to the entire world. If we are capable and successful to spread it all over, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, all over.
Okay. A couple of people noticing that their matzah, right, only the first part of Aleinu is in Chazar Shas. Both parts are in, they're just not together. When we say Aleinu in Machriot, you say Aleinu, then I forget now offhand, top of my head, but there's a in between, and then the Alkei Nekava comes a little bit later. It's split in the Machzor, but I believe, Benny, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe they do appear in all Machzorim, both halves of Aleinu.
Right, right. Rabbi Jay, you're right. Ochila interrupts in the Chazar.
Right, I thought it was Ochila, but I wasn't. Yeah. So they're just not that in order. When we put it to the Siddur, we put it in order. I saw somebody was asking Rabbi Benny. Interesting. When we think of dying Al Kiddush Hashem, it's more Shema, based, I guess, from Rabbi Akiva in this. But I guess that goes different historical time periods. What people said, unfortunately, when they were dying Al Kiddush Hashem.
So this culture of Kiddush Hashem, or these periods of Kiddush Hashem, have very, very rich unfortunately, in our history, very, very rich sources. What did they say? If Tfilat Aleinu was one of the Tfilot of a pretty small community in Blua, but it was reported that they said Aleinu, that was like the culture of the martyrs who died Al Kiddush Hashem. That's the message they wanted to have on their lips when they died. That was their legacy. Don't be angry. Don't fight. Accept the Gzerah. Accept whatever happened to you. But don't stop to hope what we say on Rosh Hashanah. And that is what Otzar HaTfilot says. How amazing. What they are praying for when they say Aleinu, we accept you. We will be killed for your name. And hopefully also the Rishei Aretz, one day they will recognize you. Never mind. Today they kill me. But I hope there will be a better world in the future that everybody will recognize Hashem. And that is unbelievable. I don't find the words to say what tolerance is here, that one is killed. And he hopes that the murderer who kills him now, he will one day come back to Hashem.
And it's just interesting, of course, why some communities would pick Aleinu and why Shema. I don't know that there's,
So Shema is indeed from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Masechet Brachot 61, it says that he said Shema, and Rabbi Akiva was an example, a role model of Kiddush Hashem. So of course, everything, a lot of things after Rabbi Akiva are mentioned in the Gemara. However, in the medieval age, they had to face the reality by taking the best prayers of their world, of the Jewish world, to take it in order to be strong at your last day when you are killed. So Rosh Hashanah is a very good source. Unetane Tokev, according to Rabbi Ephraim ben Yaakov, Unetane Tokev, Rabbi Amnon Mimagenta, he's another example. So whether the story is true or not, that he wrote it, the atmosphere of this generation is for sure true that they took and found energy and belief and strength from Rosh Hashanah for their life, which was not really a holiday. Their life was threatened by Christianity, but they made their life a holy life by using these words when they were killed.
Okay. Just a couple very quickly. Someone just, I don't think you mentioned, when was Shehem Yishtachavim Levavrik added to Aleinu? You discussed when it was taken out. Was it in the original, or was it added later?
So it was not added.
It was the original.
So the original text, I have the text, the text by Rav Amram Gaon, and the early sources. It was actually at the beginning. So what I forgot to mention is it was there from the very beginning. But there is an interesting phenomenon, a very interesting one. And here something happened to my PowerPoint. If you look here, that is a source from, just a moment, please, from Italy of the 14th century. These days, there was no Eisenmenger. And Eisenmenger was a time of anti-Semitism and scholarship. He studied for 15 years. In 20 years in Yeshivot, and was a really addicted scholar full of hatred. Here we have a text which I found actually in Encyclopedia Judaica, and it says in a Siddur from Italy, from the 14th century, Shehayu mishtachavim lahevel varik, umitpalalim el Elo Yoshia. This line caused problem for Jews. Oh, sorry, I again forgot to share the screen. In this source here, you see something fascinating. If Eisenmenger found a problem with Shehayu Mishtachavim Lehevel Varik, and he wanted to delete it, that was the censorship from outside by a terrible anti-Semite. But there is an internal censorship, which is very interesting, that the Jews in Italy in the 14th and 15th century, they changed the word. They didn't have the attitude to delete it. You cannot delete something from our scriptures. But they said, according to the Meiri, one of the big scholars somewhere else, they said today the nations there do not do idolatry. What they do today, they believe in one God. Whatever Christianity is, it's not idolatry. So how can I say Shehem Mishtachavim Lehevel Barik today? So they made an internal censorship. And instead of saying Shehayu, they said Shehem. Instead of saying Shehem Mishtachavim Lehevel Barik, they worship idolatry. He said they did in the past worship idolatry. So this change from Shehayu, from Shehem to Shehayu is an internal censorship for 300 years before Eisenmenger changed it from outside. What I showed here in this text, which is flipped to the other side, I apologize, is an interesting source. I checked a lot of handouts, a lot of manuscripts, and it says here in the Machzor Vitri, a very interesting text, a very interesting one. He says, Aleinu Leshaveach is missing. The words are deleted because that is Europe in the 20th century. And they were in the later print not allowed to show that. However, the printers, the censors, who took it out from Machzor Vitri, they did not find it in Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, we have the full text in Machzor Vitri. The censors took it out. They thought they can find it in Aleinu after the daily Sidur. The censors are not big Talmidei Chachamim. They didn't learn the Shiur today, but it comes from Rosh Hashanah. You should go back to the sources. So why is that important? For the historical research, we know this text is very original. Rav Amram, 8th century, 9th century. In all the reliable manuscripts, we have it. All Keilot have it. It is Germany who took it out. In the Rödelheim or Sidur, you have 3 points where it is missing. They took it out, but the Yekes could not do it, could not deal with that, just to delete it. At least leave 3 points to tell, to indicate that somebody deleted something from here.
Okay, I think we'll leave any comments more till next week. Somebody was asking, they are all recorded, all their shiurim. You can go on the website page either on Tim Torah or go on the program page for this particular class. They usually within 24 hours, everything is recorded. You can listen. Thank you, Rabbi Benny. We look forward to next week. Next week is Makri Jikronot and Shofrod or Unatana Tokev? I forget the order we're doing it, but we can check. Maybe you forget through the order.
Okay.
Next week will be right.
And you will find the material also on my website, tefillah.org. Susan, it's already there. It will be more. Will be there. I'm trying to build up the website gradually, so hopefully you will see it there very soon.
Okay, we have a half an hour break or 32 minutes to be technical. And Simi Peters will be concluding her 12-part series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. That will be at 1 p.m. Eastern time. This evening, we have our regular weekly shiur on the Haftorah of the week, Moshe Sokolow, always fasting. That's at 8 p.m. tonight. Tomorrow at 11 a.m., we have a new series starting. Rabbi Dr. Gil Pearl, who just moved to Florida. He had been running the head of school at Kohelet in Philadelphia. He moved to Florida. He's actually founding, heading up a new school and running a foundation there. It's worth listening to. He's been giving a 3-part series on the Yamim Noraim. Tomorrow, I believe, is on Rembrandt and the Akedah. That will be at 11 a.m. at 1 p.m. Ari Shvat gives part 2 of Orot HaTshuvah. And then at 8:30 p.m., our Parsha Shir Rabbi Seth Brower this week, the head of school and Rosh Hashiva of the Bnei Akiva schools here in Toronto. That's at 8:30 p.m. And then Friday morning, 9:30 p.m., my regular Pirkei Avot Shir. And then Sunday morning, Natty Health God, Sefer Yonah Part 2, and Rabbi Liebtag on Sefer Dvarim. And then Monday, Rebecca Winter will be giving the class at 1 p.m., and on Tshuva in Tanakh, stories in Tanakh and Tshuva. Her and Jennifer Raskis, her chavrut is going back and forth, who's teaching each week. And at 11 a.m., Professor Reingold, the Dean of Bernard Reve Graduate School at Yeshiva University, will be giving his class on the philosophy of tshuva. And then next Tuesday, Rabbi Adler will be giving part two on re-experiencing the Rosh Hashanah of Rav Soloveitchik. So that's got a lot going on, a lot to keep you busy, to learn, invite a friend. Anybody who comes to our classes, you know, that's pretty impressive, very impressive. But really do invite your friends to come, let them know about what we have. And we always want to hear your ideas and suggestions and constructive critique. So we do look forward to learning with you. And Benny, thank you very much. Thank you for looking in, see how our kids are doing. And thank you. We'll see you next week, please, God.
At 6:15.
At 6:15, yes. At 6:15, Shesh Vareva Meha Aretz, and 11:15 here. Okay, I think I'm going to end it. It just be a little bit easier, unless people will get upset at me. We'll log off, and then you can log on again for the 1 o'clock shiur by Simi Peters. Okay, everybody, everybody be well. Thank you very much. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.